This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. It is a truism that the customer is central and critical to the success of a business. Armed with innovative tools to collect sophisticated algorithms to analyze data on customer preferences and choices, modern marketers can help businesses better understand the customer experience and shape products and services. This Friday, the American Marketing Association is sponsoring a conference in Cincinnati entitled Ignite, Get Fired Up Around the Customer Experience. We are joined today by the conference chair and president of the Cincinnati chapter of the American Marketing Association, Gina Bonhar, and the senior manager of advanced advertising for Spectrum Reach in Cleveland, Ohio, Kristen Lundbeck, area marketing director for Chick-fil-A in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky, Pam Gilchrist, and CEO of the American Marketing Association, Russ Klein. Welcome, everybody, to Cincinnati Edition. It's really good to have you here today. And Gina, let's just get started. When we talk about customer experience, what is it exactly that we're talking about? I suspect it's more than just what do customers think they want or whatever, but what's the experience part of this?
Well, in our view, it's a little bit of everything. Means something to everybody in the organization. We do believe, as the American Marketing Association and the Cincinnati chapter, that everybody in the organization has a chance to have an influence on the customer experience. But it means everything from knowing what the customers want or understanding what they need to capturing how they feel and influencing how they feel. It's communications, it's operations. It's a little bit of everything. I know you're going to want to hear from everybody else on what it is,
but
too.
But it sounds like that's two ways. If you're also
every which way.
Yeah. affecting both the product and our service and the customer themselves. So, Pam, as I understand it, you spend a lot of time in the field. I'm not quite sure what that means. In your work, and particularly with Chick-fil-A, what does that mean for a company like Chick-fil-A?
That's a fabulous question. Thanks, Dan. I'm really glad you asked. It means we listen to our customers. It's about building relationships with our customers and knowing them really, really well. You know, I'll give you a really great story real quickly. And that's with the Hurricane Florence that happened last year with Harvey. The Houston area was completely flooded. Everything was shut down. Homes were flooded. People were trapped in their homes. And we had a couple that every day they called Chick-fil-A and ordered their lunch and then came and picked it up. And they were stuck in their house. The whole first floor was flooded. They did not know what to do. And the husband said, well, I'm just going to call Chick-fil-A. And sure enough, one of our team members was there. The restaurant was closed, but they were just there checking on the restaurant. And he saw who it was. He saw that it was JC calling in, JC Spencer, their regular guest. And he thought, I better answer it. And JC said, look, my house is flooded. I didn't know what to do. I call you every day, so I thought I would give you a call. And the team member got on the phone with one of his managers and said, hey, we've got to help these guys out. What can we do? And the manager's husband had two jet skis and a boat, and they went over to this couple's home, this elderly couple's home, and they rescued them literally on jet skis. And so that's how we are super involved with our customers, by knowing them intimately and always striving to pay it forward and really just connected in the community.
Great story. Kristen Lundbeck, I hope you don't have to gather all of your data on jet skis, but how is the data that you think is important? How do you actually gather that?
Yeah, jet skis more fun in the summer, maybe not in that situation, but at Spectrum, we are not doing this by hand. So data is at the heart of everything that we do and how we maintain our ideals for being human-centered as a company, but we're business to business. So at Spectrum Reach, what we do is work with local businesses to talk about their brands and grow their brands through advertising. So the most important thing about the data we collect is that we're looking at the same consumers that our business clients and partners that they need to tell them about their business. And, you know, just to kind of talk about how that comes to life in advertising, oftentimes what that could be is their job and how they run their business. Maybe it's a dentist who's great at dentistry, but they don't do advertising. And so when we talk about where they want to be and how they want to get in front of maybe a young family who can grow into their practice, we're using our data to help drive that conversation, tell them what young families are watching and how they're spending their time and how their viewership has changed so that they can maximize their dollars and have the most impact and keep focusing on what they're doing and not necessarily advertising.
So when you talk about gathering data and then getting that dentist in front of potential customers, are we talking about not just TV, but all screens, your iPhone, whatever, your handheld? Is that you're targeting that message to specific people because you know enough about them and what they're looking for?
That's right. That's right. So not as creepy as it can sometimes sound, depending on how far you take that. But yeah, we can look at what people are watching on television and how they're watching it. We can also say, hey, what is that same house? How do they look at their phones or what are they doing on their tablets? And not so specifically to say that, you know, this is John and he lives at 123 Main Street. But we look at and what we call anonymized audiences. So we know that this is House X, and that's somewhere in Cincinnati, and that house is in the market for shoes. And you're an advertiser who happens to sell shoes. So we're in the business of connecting our data with brands. But what's interesting is, you know, we're... Hello?
Go ahead, Kristen. You're still
Sorry.
Here.
What's interesting is that... And I lost it. Sorry.
No. You were just saying that you collect that in order to make the connections. And so you said before that it sometimes can sound creepier than it is. There is a legitimate concern here about the ability of marketers to collect data. And at what point do you sort of raise questions about that and about what data? And doesn't have to be Kristen here. It can go back to either of our other guests too. At this point,
I can talk.
Go ahead,
Pam. Let's go with you for.
Sure, absolutely. We use it to really create a better guest experience. For example, at Chick-fil-A, we just recently completely revamped our customer loyalty program. So now, instead of maybe getting a treat that you don't want pushed to your mobile phone, say it's a milkshake and you're dairy intolerant, you'll acquire points and you'll be able to check the Southwest chicken salad and get points for something like that. So we have just completely on the app relaunched that experience here this month, and it allows us to just know when your birthday is and how to reward you and really just stay connected with you in a positive manner.
Russ, you look at this from a national perspective, and the question I was raising there, and I know that we had a bit of a phone drop, so I could catch you back up. I was just raising the question. There are a lot of people out there who have concerns about privacy and about how much data is being collected by marketers and how much people know about them. From your perspective, how is the industry handling that? How are you talking about that?
That's a great question, Dan. The issue, or I see it as a real tension between the customer's desire to have the most relevant and positive experience possible, which requires information and insight in order to achieve that, the tension between that and loss of privacy. And the customer, I think, is is giving feedback to most brand owners on a, let's say, an industry by industry basis. And so you're willing to share your personal information, obviously, with someone like a bank or perhaps even an automobile company where you may have a passion for a particular car and you may be willing to sort of turn over all of the preferences and details of your life. In other cases, maybe your bathroom tissue, take as an example, or a paper towel brand, you may be more reluctant to provide any more information than maybe an email address to get a coupon. So it's always going to depend on the nature of the product, but the experience design around it will be based on the insights into how the customer views that tension or balance in sort of a case-by-case basis.
Are there places where you think things have gotten out of control, where you know, from the association's point of view, from the industry's point of view, where you think, oh, people have to pull it back, and in terms of the amount of data being collected? I mean, are you monitoring what's going on in terms of this sort of data collection?
We try to stay up to date on all of the various technology that is being placed into the marketer's so-called marketing stack of technology. You know, we're of a mind that every enterprise, large or small, has a moral responsibility to its customers. Not only to deliver outstanding experiences like your other guests have talked about, but to also treat them with respect and dignity as it relates to the way they accumulate knowledge about them. So, yes, we watch it. There are certainly all kinds of potential risks. You see ill-gotten information that has been produced by hackers, which may not even, of course, then be the company's fault per se, other than its security systems were inadequate. That's an ongoing arms race, too. The company's trying to protect data, hackers trying to figure out how to get into it. And so this is a very fuzzy area that's going to continue to be one where the buyer should beware and be cognizant of to whom you're providing your information, to whom you write anything. My mother used to tell me, always pretend like you're talking to God wherever you are. And, you know, that was pre-digital, I can assure you. And it's a good advice for anyone even now, because there's a great chance that something that you're writing, information you're sharing, is going to end up, just imagine it being the last place you want it. It will surely end up there. So we really encourage a lot of self-reliance. And, of course, there's also a lot of, I'm sure, government activity going on with brand owners and sponsors who are trying to continue to sharpen up around the ethics issue around privacy. And that again, will be an ongoing issue.
Well, I think there's two points there, and real quickly. One is to know the brand and understand the quality of the brand that you're dealing with. And secondly, you have choices as a consumer, right? There's a lot of privacy settings and other ways in which you can choose to engage with the brand. So maybe taking a little bit more of an active role as a consumer and how you are managing that brand relationship yourself.
Kristen, Pam before gave an example of, in her situation with Chick-fil-A, responding to longtime customers and whatever. And it just, can you give us an example of where the data that you collected, your company has collected, you were working with a company that then changed their service or their product, did an adjustment in order to better maximize what it was that customers wanted?
Yeah, this happens more than you would probably think. Most often that comes in the form of kind of who our business clients think that their current customer is, and then who they are in reality. So looking at whether that be the age and gender of who they think that they're talking to or who they want to talk to, and then comparing that with actual sales data, which is something that we do a lot. So we say, let us look at how you can talk to people, your customers, and then let's look at how they interact with you. And what we do is kind of the power of our size is all of the data points that we can piece together and kind of map that out in a way that perhaps they hadn't thought about in the past to tell a different story. We have a large furniture retailer in one of the markets that I support who had historically always gone to the market as a really high-end, luxurious brand. And what we found through kind of digging through a lot of their different engagement metrics and their sales information is that they sold far more accessories than an average furniture store. And when we kept digging in, what we found was that it was because people liked their stuff, but they could only afford, you know, the lamp. They couldn't afford the couch. And they ended up changing part of the product line, not all of it, but adjusting to part of what that was so that they could tap into a new marketplace.
Okay. Well, I am basically out of time. I want to thank all of my guests. This conference will take place on Friday at the Cintas Center at XU. And you can find out about it on the local AMA.
IgniteAMA.com.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.